This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
You're on Joy with Tom and Warren for breakfast. Tom, do you remember this song?
Of course, that's Mbop by Hanson. Or Hanson? Or Handsome?
Handsome.
Handsome. Well, they are quite handsome. Have you seen them? The debut song for three brothers aged between 11 to 16 at the time shot to number one in 27 countries. It was nominated for two Grammys and was later voted by VH1 as the 20th greatest song of the 90s.
Joining us this morning is the eldest sibling. Isaac, Mbop is 21 years old now. What do you guys attribute to its amazing success?
Well, mostly at this point, you know, it has a severe drinking habit. mostly beer related. I don't know. It's good at parties.
It's good. And what Isaac's trying to do there, Warren, is tell us there's a beer called Mbop.
It's actually Hopped.
Oh, Hopped. There we go. Oh, I was close, wasn't I? I'm Mbopped in the mind.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm actually drinking one right now, an Hops Pale Ale by Hanson Brothers Beer Company.
Well, lovely. Unfortunately, here you're speaking to Melbourne in breakfast, and I'm not allowed to drink before 11.
That's a bit early.
Yeah.
It's good that it's the evening for me.
Excellent. Listen, you and your brothers were performing as a group for 5 years before you had your commercial success. You were 11 at the time. Taylor was 9. Zach was 6. So are you guys, is that made you guys really close, or do you like to beat each other up in between sets?
I would actually go with the latter. We do beat each other up in between sets, but we don't ever hit above the neck, you know, so the wounds are mostly like internal and underneath shirts, so they're easily covered up.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because let me tell you, you are three bloody hot young men and you keep getting hotter, so we don't want to destroy that face.
I appreciate that very, very much.
Look, we don't have the other ones here with us, Isaac. Here in Australia, we have the Hemsworth brothers. You might have heard of Chris and Liam Hemsworth. They've also got a real dud brother called Luke, you know. And then if you look about the Baldwins, you got Alex, Stephen, and the dud one, Daniel. Come on, mate. The others aren't here. Which one's the dud one in the family? There has to be one that you're carrying.
I'm going to go with me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too nice.
Isaac, you started out singing 50s rock and roll songs like Rock and Robin, a cappella.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of music preteens were into in the 90s?
No, it was just us weird Hanson brothers. We kind of, by a fluke, we were living outside the United States in Spanish-speaking South America. And before we left, our mom had purchased a cassette tape that had about 22 different singles from 1958. And we just listened, amongst other things, we listened to that and a bunch of other kind of albums just on repeat. And that was some of the music that we just fell in love with, because we were out of the country for a long time. And so when we came back to the U.S., we listened to a lot of oldies radio stations because that was some of the stuff that we liked the most. And I mean, you know, I listened to a lot of other modern music as well, but that late 50s, early 60s R&B and rock and roll really made a strong impression and continued to be a huge inspiration for us as we went on in our, you know, kind of musical pursuits. In fact, so much so that when one of our neighbors back in the United States, once we'd returned from South America, when our neighbors was over and he said, "Oh, what's that music you're listening to?" And Zach said, "Oh, it's the Jackson 5." And he said, "The Jackson who?" "The Jackson 5." Like, Michael Jackson is like, "You don't know who the Jackson 5 is?" He's like, "No." And Zach was like, "You need to leave my house." kicked the guy out because he didn't know who the Jackson 5 were.
I do the same in my house. If you don't know who Kylie Minogue or ABBA is, you do get asked to remove yourself from my property.
There you go.
So I can understand.
There you go. I mean, totally understandable.
Isaac, on your new album and live tour, you're reimagining your music with a full symphony orchestra performing with you on stage. How do the songs mm-hmm. translate?
Very well, and also very, very kind of different from song to song. I mean, it's been really fun to take that risk and have the opportunity to work, especially alongside our friend David Campbell, who's a Oscar winner, who's a composer. He's also arranged for countless albums that have, you know, been multi platinum all around the world. And in fact, actually, he's the only string arranger we've ever used on our music. Mm. We used him back in the 90s on our first album, Middle of Nowhere, and on This Time Around, and countless other times. And then he was of course our first, you know, the first person on our wish list. And we said, well, David, here's the idea. You know, we're wanting to do new music, but we're wanting to connect the new music with the old music and come up with a kind of a progression, a story. And he loved what we were talking about, and so he spent, you know, months on end working with us to realize the vision.
Excellent. Look, because, I mean, you guys known for playing instruments. Did you have to learn to play it different so you weren't competing with the orchestra, or have you picked up a new instrument, like a woodwork? Or?
Well, I am actually studying cello right now, which is kind of fun.
Oh, wow.
And that's just a personal choice after doing all this work. I just said to myself, well, you know, I want to stretch myself even more musically, and this is a fun way to kind of go down that road. So who knows what that'll produce over time. But in the meantime, I mean, we definitely, for us, this show is not about the band and then the orchestra is kind of in the background. The idea is that it is very much about playing with the symphony. It is very much about making sure that the songs shine and are unique and different and fun, and also very, in some cases, very, you know, spooky and very heart-wrenching, depending on the song, and I think we've found a really good balance. I mean, there are some songs that literally are only vocals and the orchestra, and then there are some songs that are like in-your-face, aggressive, you know, rock guitar with, you know, string section hitting the riff that the guitar is playing. So, I mean, it's everything under the sun.
It sounds fantastic. I cannot wait. Now, look, you've got some new music written for this album. Was it a different process writing with the orchestra in mind?
Well, I mean, it was as when you're doing anything unique and different, it was a challenge in its own way, because you want to make sure that you don't, shall we say, fill all of this space.
Yeah.
But what was really fun for me was actually that there were musical ideas that we had that we said to ourselves, well, instead of, you know, an organ or some kind of keyboard or a guitar part doing that, we'll just let the orchestra do it.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I think that was really the key for us, was just saying, wait a second, we don't have to do everything. We can let the orchestra really be up front and center. I mean, there's a couple of cases, like, for example, there's a new song called Breaktown, and we actually wrote the song 15 years ago, but it never released it. And we're always waiting for the right project, because we've always loved this song, but it just needed to find the right place. And sure enough, String Theory was the place for it. And there's a solo, there's a guitar solo that is also played by the entire string section. So the entire string section and the guitar are playing the exact same riff, and it's really, really cool. That's just a random example of some of the fun things that you're able to do with an orchestra that you could never do otherwise.
One of your other tracks is called Reaching for the Sky. What's that one about?
Well, that one, in some ways, almost describes the full storyline of the show, String Theory. But basically, the story is told from the point of view of a young boy who's, you know, trying to pursue his dreams, trying to do crazy things and potentially impossible things, or things that others doubt him in doing, and so on. And he says, no, I'm going to try for it anyway, even though it seems crazy, because I think in my own head and my own heart, it's not crazy, and I'm willing to take the risk. And so in a lot of ways, that's what the show is about.
Look, so we're going to have a listen now to one of your new songs from the album, Siren Call. Yes. Is this one got a story behind it as well?
This song comes into the show where things kind of take a turn for the character. You know, the character has been dreaming big dreams, chasing his dreams, trying to find the optimism and the excitement, and he reaches this high, and then all of a sudden, this scary reality of things not always going the way you hope they will comes in. And this song is has a reference to Odysseus, Homer's Odyssey, and basically talks about the sirens who are calling the sailors to their doom to crash into the rocks. And so basically, the song is all about trying to keep focus on the dream and on the future, and not fall victim to your own demise.
Well, I'm going to relate to that one. I've tried to get a few seamen against my rocks as well, but we won't go into that this early in the morning. Look, Hanson String Theory album is available tomorrow on all digital platforms, and the Australian tour kicks off in Melbourne at the Palais Theatre on February the 27th. You go to Ticketmasters for all your tickets. We cannot wait. I can't wait to hear Umbop reimagined.
Isaac, it's been great to speak with you on Joy today. We wish you all the best for the album, and we'll see you here in February.
Yeah, look forward to being back in Australia. Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Thanks, Isaac.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.